This is the Creative Sports Podcast. My name is Justin Peterson. Joining me are Brock Rahm.
Ball State today, chirp chirp.
And Garrett Wright.
I don't really have anything funny today. I'm just not funny.
Chris Taylor, Senior Director of Sports Production with Ball State SportsLink and Esports, joins us today to talk about how he built the Ball State program. We get into the different opportunities students have, how they figure out what they enjoy doing, and piecing it all together with circular storytelling.
Are you guys recording?
All right. Why not?
Hey, it's Brock. Just wanted to give a big shout out to APM for providing the track for us here on the Creative Sports Podcast. We're doing this podcast as an extension of the sports creative community on Slack. So if you're finding us and aren't a member of the community yet, you can sign up for free at sportscreativeslack.com. Now, on with the show. We're joined today by Chris Taylor of Ball State, Senior Director of Sports Production for SportsLink. Chris, thanks for coming on.
Hey, absolutely. I'm excited to be here with you guys.
So when we were talking about guests, I think your name came up pretty quick this round because of the program that Ball State has with SportsLink and how integral you've been to the growth of that program. I know Justin, Garrett, and myself, we all came from a student program at Nebraska, and it really, you know, played a huge part in our careers and the decisions we made later in life. So give us a little bit of your background and how you made your way to Ball State.
Yeah, absolutely. I was, I'm a Ball State TCOM graduate in production. So that was my undergrad. Earned my master's at Ball State as well in sports administration. And for, I guess, the previous life or where I started in my career was in athletics and in sports information. Ended my time in athletics as director of athletics communications and marketing. And then went tested for a short time the corporate world and realized that I didn't like that as much. After, you know, being in an athletics environment and certainly in an SID role where you're usually the first one there and the last one to leave and interacting with so many people, I didn't like the desk job. So there was the opportunity to come back to Ball State, on a 10-month contract to lead, what has now become SportsLink and sports production. And honestly, guys, that was a chance for me to, I was in Nashville, Tennessee at the time, favorite city on earth, but I just didn't like the job that I was in that corporate world. And so for me at the time, it was a chance to, you know, come back home in a sense to Ball State and Muncie, I'll do this for 10 months. I'll get my hands back into the things I like to do in producing sports and doing some videos and interviews, and we'll see where it goes, you know, just to, you know, to hopefully build at that time, you know, build my resume for the next job. But I knew that something special could happen here. Once I saw kind of those avenues and, you know, I love the teaching. If that's, you know, I hesitate to call myself a teacher in that role, a professor, not a true academic type, but, I love it. You know, it's the closest I can get to coaching in a sense. And I just love those relationships and, you know, mentoring our students and building the program that we've built here at Ball State. And we have tremendous support from the university and our college. And, you know, anytime I typically have a question, I thankfully have never been told no. It's one of those things where, like, you know, can you prove that we want to do this and how can we do it? And all you can ask for is to have folks who allow you to do what you want to do. And I'm proud of where we are today.
And Chris, for those people who aren't familiar with the SportsLink program, can you kind of give us a little brief rundown of what that is? Like, I've had the pleasure of working with some of your former students at my stops, Josh Blessing, Michelle Manzo, you know, great people. And, you know, I know you've built something special there, but just for people not familiar, can you just kind of tell us a little bit about what it is, how many students you got going through it, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. We have, we have what has become, the first four-year academic program in sports production. Certainly there are sports broadcasting schools and there are sports journalism schools, and we have a mix of that in what we do for sure. But our emphasis is on production, behind the scenes production, and then live event production. And as you saw this kind of growth in what ESPN was doing, we were, I'll say this because we were doing that before the emphasis came for ESPN to put on schools for school production. So we were in a really good place to kind of like just jump and go with what we were doing. And that's the difference. I think, our foundation is storytelling. I love storytelling. I love the passion that goes into that. I love the challenge of that. And I tell our students every day, look, we're telling stories, whether it's a 30-second hype video for social media, or a 3-hour gymnastics broadcast for an ESPN platform. And that's truly what we've created. And I think that's our niche. It's awesome. we are an acceptance application based program at Ball State. So students apply to be part of sports production and SportsLink. We're typically allowing or admitting, 12 to 14 students a year into the program. And that would be a total of somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 65 total, right? And, from freshman to senior in our program. So it's unique. It allows us to get a lot of repetition, doing a lot of events, doing storytelling, doing feature stories, doing studio shows, doing podcasts, doing radio, and certainly the live events that we do for an ESPN platform.
And how did you go about building it? Because, I've had the opportunity to start something at a non-Power 5 level, and it just felt overwhelming and impossible, to be completely honest. How are you able to build this into what it's become today?
It's a good question. I think I always say this, and again, I don't want to sound cliche here, but I worked in athletics, right? And I was around awesome coaches, and I was around how, every day, how they built their program or how they coached their teams, how they recruited people to be part of their teams, their philosophy and their culture. And there isn't a day, guys, that goes by that I don't reflect on something from when I worked in athletics, either that a certain coach, one of my favorite coaches that I ever worked with was Brenda Free. She's the head coach at the University of Maryland right now. And just how she built her team and built her culture, and how she was so passionate. And at times, one of her players, so fun and jovial, and there's not a day that goes by where something in those days when I was actually in the hallways and, my paycheck came from an athletics that I don't take away into what I'm trying to do with us, right? I love having our coaches come in. I love learning about leadership and philosophy and those sorts of things. And I think at the end of the day, Garrett, the best answer I can give you to that is I've always put the emphasis on the student. When I worked in athletics, the emphasis was on the student athlete. How can we tell their stories? How can we set them up for success in whatever role that I was in? And I've carried that over to what I'm doing on the academic side. I have a note on my computer that says, remember your why. And my why is the students. I've always just tried to give them the best opportunity and mentor them. And it's stuck in a way. Now we have validation of the quality of our student work and the stuff that we're doing. And it's proud. It's something you've built. And you just always try to keep adding a new room somewhere onto the house and see what you can do next. I guess it's just taking a lot of hard work, a lot of passion, and just putting the students first.
I think one of the coolest things when I see Ball State SportsLink and the content you all do is the opportunities you're able to give your students that's unique from everybody else, thinking about, the NCAA social media during tournament time, things like that. How do you broker those deals that maybe other universities aren't necessarily getting or maybe aren't reaching out for? How are you getting these unique opportunities for SportsLink students? I
think first and foremost, it's the quality of our work. that, you know, you can look at something that SportsLink does and you would be hard pressed to know or not know that it was produced by a student. And I think, you know, the quality of the work hopefully speaks for itself. And in many ways it goes back, you know, like you're always recruiting, you're always looking for opportunities, at least, you know, and I learned that in athletics, you know, in my brief stint in the corporate world where, you know, there was a lot of sales involved or partnerships or clients, I learned that too. But I think a lot of it is simply relationships, right? You know, like the number of people that you meet and hopefully you treat them well and they respect you and you respect them. And, it's relationships, right? You know, all of us on this call are connected in some way by a mutual person that we know or someone else. And I think maybe using those relationships and those access to, hey, think about this. Maybe we could do this for you, and then delivering on that, you know, so that we get the opportunities to continue is how that, I guess, how I would describe that.
I think one of the things that's interesting that to have you touch on and consider here is, you know, the growth and the change over the last 10 years within this industry. I think with the turnover, with the students, you know, having different skill sets as they're coming in, I'm just curious how you've been able to continually evolve what you're doing, and how the student skill sets have changed over the years while you're still able to produce the high level of content that you're producing.
Yeah, and you know what, the thing that's crazy about this is that, you know, we had this conversation on day one of last semester with our students in the pandemic that has changed all of our lives. I remember in one of my slides on the first day of fall semester 2020 was, when storytelling is your foundation, you don't have to reinvent yourself. So I don't know where that plays into it. That's just my nugget. That's my peg on the wall in terms of storytelling. And you know, a good story still wins regardless of the technology or the platform or the equipment that you're using to produce it. So that is, you know, that truly is the foundation of where we go. And, you know, a lot of people tried, I think, to reinvent themselves. It was warranted because of the economy or different things. We're a little bit different at a university, but we didn't have sports. But I was like, look, we're not going to go do something that isn't what we do or what we know. We're still going to tell stories. We're going to tell them differently. And that's still the platform, whether we're doing that through a Zoom call or we're doing that with a red camera, you know, it's still the principles are there. And the other thing I would add to that is the willingness to always learn, right? Like our demographic is students and, you know, whatever the age group is, 18 to 23 or 24 year olds, whatever it might be, embracing the world that they're in and the creativity they have and what they're seeing, right? Like if you can prove to me or show me, and you put a concept on paper that you've thought it out and there's some preparation behind it, let's try it, right? Let's see what we can do. If you're seeing someone else doing something, then let's see if we can try that and make it better, put our own spin on it. So I don't think we've tried to reinvent ourselves. I think we have a true philosophy and a mission and a vision and a values and all those things that you hear in leadership. And that's where we just continue to grow. And then you have students who come in who hopefully buy into that culture and are extremely talented. And then they start recruiting other students and they get offers to freelance or go and they get jobs in the industry. And then that just builds and builds and builds. And that's truly kind of that perfect storm, I think, that we've had and that I firmly believe that we're still in with what we're doing at Ball State.
You know, you talked a little bit there about kind of the evolution of, you know, trying to let kids try things and do new things and experiment a little bit. How do you deal with failure, you know, when you're working with students and still trying to deliver, you know, this high-end product that SportsLink is known for?
I think, you know, you have to understand, again, if you go back to this, this philosophy of putting the student first and understanding that they're here to learn and you're there to facilitate opportunities and mentor them. I think, you know, you work mutually together and you're trying to not put them in a situation where they fail. And part of that certainly is the learning environment. You know, we've all of us, even at the professional level, you go out and you're like, dang, I didn't have that exposed exactly the way I wanted to have that exposed, or the mic wasn't exactly where it should be, or I didn't get the audio that I needed, and then you'd use the audio from the camera mic, all those certain things, right? Those things are inherently going to happen even to the best of us at times. And that's an important learning aspect for the student, but like, all right, that happened. How can you make sure that doesn't happen? Next time you double mic, next time you have this, you do this, we do this. And I think I accept as much of the responsibility to make sure that what the students are doing and producing is of quality, and not just, you know, if they're doing it wrong, it's my job as a mentor or director of our program or the teacher to teach them and explain to them, this is what went wrong. Don't do it again. And this is how you improve on it. And for whatever reason, thankfully our students are really good, and hopefully they listen, and I learn as much from them as they learn from me. I guarantee you that.
So if I am a incoming freshman accepted to the SportsLink program, what does my first semester look like? Maybe I don't have an idea of what I want to do in the sports broadcasting world. What does that kind of four-year plan look like?
Yeah, we have it mapped out for 8 semesters at Ball State, 4 years at Ball State. We're seeing a lot of kids, you know, graduate earlier, graduate in 3, bringing in a lot of advanced credit, from high school or doing things. But the thing that we're very, very proud about at Ball State is that from day one, you can get involved. And I honestly do not, I don't distinguish in a way that, oh, you're a freshman, this is the only thing you can do, and his seniors get to do this. We're all in one group, right? They're freshmen and seniors, and we all meet together. And if a student has the willingness and the work ethic to be in there and to produce stuff and learn and soak things up, then, you know, I'm not going to put them in a seat that they're going to fail in the first time, right? We're not going to let a freshman probably produce one of our games on an ESPN platform, but I guarantee you, if that freshman is interested, he's going to sit in shadow, right? And then maybe get that opportunity. So they're enrolled in academic credit from the very first semester. We have, an intro to sports production class that basically gets them introduced to who we are and what we do, all the different things that we do. And, you know, if you have a specific area of interest, you can move certain ways, but I want them to be exposed to everything. And even in the production side of things, one of my greatest, I love when a student who maybe will sit for the first time in a director's chair or a producer's chair, certainly after they're prepped to do so. And, you know, after it's over, you know, at a timeout and we go to break, and so, you know, you just look at them and their eyes are like lighting up and you're like, wow, I love this. I didn't think I would want to be a director. And in fairness, there are times where you see a student's eyes and you're like, okay, when we know that that's not what you want to do. And they're usually pretty honest, like, wow, okay, I don't want to direct anymore. That's not for me. But now I know what that position goes through. And when I'm running EVS or replay or Dyno, or I'm on graphics, I know what I need to do to make that person's job better. So, you know, they can be involved as early as they want to be. And certainly we recruit, right? We recruit students to come into the program. There's an application base. So like, we already have a general idea that this person is producing these things. They're doing multiple live events in their high school, or they're producing highlight reels and videos. And we know the potential quality of their work or the potential of what they can do once they're here. So certainly we have a lot of those things. And I don't want to say we recruit to skills, but to go back to that whole athletics thing, right? Like you do look at, right, I got a group of talented announcers in this group, and we know we're going to graduate a group of talented producers or cinematographers. So, all right, we're going to look a little harder to make sure we bring in a few more cinematographers in the next class. As crazy as that sound, right, wrong, or indifferent, but it's certainly working for us.
So I think, sorry, I lost my train of thought there a little bit. I got distracted. An email popped up on my screen and I went to go dismiss it. So when I was at Notre Dame and working with students on a regular basis, a little bit different, considering it was an academic program. I would say most organizations, in the collegiate side are structured a little more where the student program maybe lives on the athletic side and not necessarily the academic side like you deal with. But we had a very robust student program, but I know it can be tough for a lot of different places to recruit students to come work in their sports production department. What advice would you give to those managers or those department heads who are maybe struggling to get students to come in and want to work at a student-based program for an athletics department in video?
Yeah, I learned this very early from one of my mentors when I got the current role that I'm in now. You have to find your champions across campus, not just within your walls, if that makes sense. So as we are trying to build what we're doing at Ball State, I made sure our provost and our president knew all the different opportunities and the ways that students could be involved and how we would grow this. And certainly, you know, you're athletics director and you find those head coaches that champion what you do too. And then that makes that message a little stronger perhaps. And we get that question a lot in terms of like, well, I can't get the students into our program, or we don't have a communication school that does these sorts of things. And I think there's always a willingness, or there should be a willingness to find a way, right? Like, can you offer an internship credit, or can you, if you're in athletics, can you work with someone to do a 1 hour class a week on whatever it is where they get some kind of credit? And then by doing that, then there's a responsibility that the student has, you know, obviously if they're getting paid, which a lot of students do, there's that. But then there's also if you can't pay or you can't hire a lot of students, then is there a way that you can, you know, can you, and when I was in athletics, I actually would teach a class or, you know, a sports info class or a media class. And at that time it was, okay, I'm going to teach this class and hopefully recruit students to work in our department. But you have to find a champion, and champions across campus, I guess is what I would say there, to really build that and to make that go. And if you put the students first and the opportunities first, you can translate a student working in production to promoting and enhancing the student athlete's experience while they're at the university. I would say you'd be hard pressed to find many academic folks or administration that can't understand that students here, this is a good thing if we can figure out a way to make it work.
Yeah, I think back to when I worked with the Nebraska volleyball team with Coach Cook, because he always talked about pairing people together, you know, pairing strength with strength, that you put your best people with the best people so they can continue to learn and grow. I feel like I hear some of that and what you're saying with taking the sports analogies and putting them together to help teach the students like you would student athletes too. So I think that's really cool. So I want to get into, you talked about storytelling as your base of the program, right? Everything's about storytelling. Whether you're a producer, it's storytelling. Whether you're a cinematographer, it's storytelling. So for a tangible outcome for people listening here, if they're really into equipment, they're gearheads, and wanting to focus on the story a little bit more, where do you start with all those students and help them wrap their head around focusing on the story?
Yeah, it's a passion for me, as I've said, and you've heard me say that so much already. I think I've always, you know, been a storyteller, you know, and as an SID, you're a storyteller and so on and so forth. And I'm a big proponent of, there are many ways to structure a story, right? You can go, you know, many, many different ways to structure a story. I am a proponent of circular storytelling. The Hero's Journey is something you could Google and find, or Circular Storytelling. If you look at our SportsLink logo that we've just, you know, updated, it has a circle with an arrow on it. That's to represent circular storytelling. That's the model that I try to start our students. You know, everything, think about this, draw yourself a circle. Where does the story start? What's in the middle? Is there a low point? What's the resolution? Where are we working towards? And even in the basis of a hype video, you see a lot of schools do, highlights from a game, and they'll throw some flashy edits on there, and they'll, you know, throw maybe a sound or a radio call or whatever. I'm telling our students, like, get there early. What are the scenics? What are the visuals? What are the things that we can do to tell a story, right? Like, set the scene. And all that is basic storytelling principles. So, I never tell a student, at least now, go out and shoot highlights and come back and throw something together. Go out and think of this event that you're shooting as a story. And what would your mom, what would your grandma want to know about this event? Or what would they want to see from this event? And we'll use that analogy as we get into doing small pieces or packages or kind of our pride and joy of our full-length feature stories that we do on athletes. You know, how are we gonna peel back those layers? How are we gonna get to places where maybe someone has never told that part of their life? That starts with trust. That starts with access. That starts with responsibility and being invested in the subject that you're doing. But draw that circle. Our students, whether they like it or not, they're going to always remember me for the circular storytelling aspect. They're going to take that little thing and at least gives them a foundation to start. Right? Every story isn't circular in structure, but if you start there and you're planning that way, it's not going to steer you wrong. And that's something that we hit very early and very repetitive. And I will say this, I was very, very fortunate to connect early in my time at Ball State with Ben Hauser, who at the time was a producer, senior producer, coordinating producer of E60 and Outside the Lines at Ball State, or I'm sorry, at ESPN. And he has since moved on to the WWE. And Ben Hauser and Tom Rinaldi were kind of my mentors. I like, man, you know, if they're going to do a story, they're going to produce it right. And most people knew Tom Rinaldi, but at the early, you know, stages, if you didn't know who the producer of the story was, you just knew that it was Tom Rinaldi and he was going to make you cry. But Ben was involved in early of those things. And I picked their brain so much in the early days of, like, you know, where should we go? How should we make sure that we're teaching storytelling? And we have built like this remarkable relationship with the E60 team. And those folks will come to campus and visit with us, or we'll do Skype calls. And when you get the chance as a student to pick those people's brains, and most of the time, you know, they're saying the same thing that I'm teaching or telling our students, like, think about this, think about the structure. It's awesome. Like, it's amazing. Circular storytelling structure is something that our kids will get. I have a worksheet, you know, hey, you're going to go out and work on a story today, grab that worksheet. And, you know, what are your shots? What are your sources? What do you think your interviews need to be? Are you going to use music? Are you going to use that sound? Are you using graphics, whatever? Think of that before you ever pick up the camera, whatever camera it is, whether it's high end or low end. Think about what your structure is. You know, what do you want to accomplish? Don't just go shoot highlights and come back and throw them together and put a music bed underneath them and put these flashy effects that anyone can do or can do. Yeah, you know, like, people don't remember that stuff. They remember the story. They remember what's behind it. And I preach that to our students, because we have talented people who can throw those 30-second hype videos and splash it up and do all these different things. And there's a need and there's a place for that. Absolutely. But if you have those skill sets and you have those, whoops. If you have those skill sets and you have the knowledge of how to tell a story behind it, you have separated yourself in this industry. And that's what we're trying to teach at Ball State.
That was great to hear the background and the storytelling and, you know, pulling up your logo. I hadn't noticed and made that connection with the circle there, but now that you're saying that, that makes perfect sense. And it sounds like you're talking a lot about preparation too, with trying to get the students to think about the story up front, how they would cover it, and how they would approach it so that when they go into the situation that they could be a little bit more flexible. So I guess when they are in the planning stages of producing a piece, whether it's, that's a feature piece of content, whether that's, you know, storytelling hype or something along those lines, how far do they take it? Like a storyboard, picking out their music ahead of time to set the tone. What does that process look like as far as maybe it's instruction from you a little bit of trying to set the scene for them, or are they taking and running it and pitching different ideas to you?
I think it's certainly a combination of both. And, you know, all three of us or four of us on this call, we would all sit down and edit differently in terms of what our process might be. Right. So I don't try to, you know, formalize or put this, this outline of this is how you do it. I think that circular ideas, that just makes you think. But in terms of, you know, the creativity, I will tell you, first and foremost, it comes from the students. I certainly like will throw out ideas or like, man, wouldn't it be cool if we could take our basketball team to an airport hangar because our university logo and overall university motto is We Fly. I know Ben Hauser and the guys at E60 would take athletes to an airport hangar. Well, let's try to take athletes to an airport hangar. And then, you know, I'll help work out the details if we could do something like that, which we did. But then, man, it's the students like, hey, here's your scene. Here's your environment. What do you got? Like, let's see what we can create from that. And then there are times, more times often than not, where a student will come back to me and say, hey, what do you think if we tried this or could we do this? And, you know, sometimes it's realistic. And I'll tell my students, like, the only time I'm going to tell you no is either because I'm forced to by my title, because it's just not something that we can do, or I'm going to tell you no because I've either experienced it before and it's not realistic, or what you're pitching is just not realistic. You know, that's the only time I'm going to tell you no. But if you can come to me with ideas, and then, you know, the best part of that is when, hey, could we try this? Or do you think we could do this? Or why could we shoot it this way? Yeah, that would be awesome. Let's shoot it that way. But did you think about maybe putting a camera here or trying this? And then, man, that's where you just like whiteboard and create ideas. And that's what I love. I love that about what I do. And frankly, those times when I was in the corporate world, I had too many other people telling me what, how to think and how to produce something. And I didn't necessarily like that. Like I like the creativity and throwing things on the wall and trying to think outside the box, as cliche as that is. But So it's a combination, right? You know, our brand is Ball State and we're working with athletics, and certainly athletics has certain mottos or certain themes for, you know, maybe the overall department or team specific. We'll throw those things around and see where those things come into play. We'll try to do that for sure. But most of it is student led, and, you know, having the confidence to, or the security, maybe that's a better word, having the security to know that, listen to a student, let's see what they come up with. And then how do you supplement that? How do you complement that? You know, there are no bad ideas. There's just usually bad execution. So again, that's my role to make sure that we don't have bad execution, I guess.
I think you brought up a really good point about listening to students, especially as I found out as I've gotten older in this industry. You know, I'm not so much on the creative side now. I'm very much so on the technical side. But when I was on the creative side, you know, I edited and told stories a certain way, from what I learned back when I was in college and through my first job. But the only way I could keep my stylistic choices fresh was to look at what students were doing. especially when I was at Notre Dame. And it was really refreshing to see how a lot of students aren't really afraid just to throw an idea against the wall or try something that you would sit there and say, like, you don't put that on TV. That's stupid, right? Nobody would put that on traditional TV. Well, traditional TV isn't really traditional anymore. It's not really a thing as much as it was before. So why not try something new and different? And I've always found that that you know, listening to the students I had at Notre Dame and picking their brain about what they're doing made me personally a better editor and a better storyteller because it got me out of my comfort zone that I had learned for all those years over and over and over.
I agree 100%. And again, you know, that's the role that we're in where like, and that is something certainly different. And we have the luxury, right? Because we are an academic program and that, you know, student intellectual property and creativeness and all the different things that we try to do, like you want to foster those things. So our boundaries, while we have boundaries, they may not be as strict per se as if they're, you know, being paid to work in the athletics department. But we always try to make sure that, you know, we're working with our athletics department and not portraying the wrong message or any of those things. But I guess I've seen it multiple times where like people just don't want to embrace, you know, you're a student, you're not good enough, you're here to learn this, let me do what I do and I'm going to show you my way. And I've never, you know, like I said, picking up on this circular storytelling model where I started a few minutes ago in this conversation is like, hey, I'm not the true academic type person. I'm a mentor, I'm a facilitator, and you know, we listen to them and we give them the opportunity and how can we make sure that they succeed in whatever role that they're trying to do? Or how do we make sure that they learn that, okay, you can't do it this way and here's why, but think of it this way. It's really weird. And in a sense, I'm kind of getting emotional thinking about how lucky I am to do what I do when I'm kind of reciting what I'm reciting. But it is true, right? You just got to embrace the students. That's the thing. And, you know, they know if you're investing back in them in a way that is allowing them to grow or restricting. It's so true. And I've found that out.
Yeah, it's really, really cool to hear because, you know, I think there are great opportunities out there for students. You know, it's been a tough year all the way across the board for everybody, you know, having internships cut down and, you know, going through a program like what you have at SportsLink, I think sets these students up really, really well and prepares them for real world examples. I guess as they near the end of their time, what is, I guess, reflecting back and knowing what the growth that you've seen and the time and energy that you've poured into them and obviously gotten a ton back in return from them as well. Where do you usually see the most growth out of these students 4 years into the program?
I hope it's as a person. I really do. most of what we're doing, and you know, from a skill set, you know, anyone can probably learn or Google or go to Lynda or whatever those kind of things are. But like, you know, the philosophy behind why you're trying to do something, I think is important, the circular storytelling or just the structure and the preparation, but then just, you know, seeing students mature and grow and kind of find their passion. Maybe they have that passion when they come in as a freshman and, you know, they know what they want to do and that's awesome. And maybe they don't as they come in as a freshman. And, you know, we play a role potentially in mentoring them to find something that they love to do. I think another thing that I would give as an answer to that question is it makes my heart smile when I talk to professionals or folks who have hired our students or even our students who are currently in our program who are working for professional you know, organizations or doing things. We have a student, Sina Garaiwi, who is one of the local correspondents in the NFL. She's I mean, she's still in our program and she's traveling around and shooting NFL games on Saturday and producing amazing content. And when folks like that, or, you know, the NCAA or ESPN or Bleacher Report or Turner Sports or whatever it might be, when they're working with one of our students and they say they were prepared for anything we threw at them. And I think that makes me really, really happy, because I try to operate what we do in a sense that you're not going to get a job or an entry-level job that you're not at least going to have some knowledge to be prepared for. And most times, guys, that isn't necessarily in skills. It's how you communicate, how you conduct yourself, how you plan, how you prepare. And if you were to ask me that 10 years ago when I got this job, or, you know, even probably, shoot, maybe even 5 or 6 years ago, my answer probably would have been different of what we're trying to do with our students. Like, yeah, produce this. We're going to get you this job. And maybe it's because I'm getting older too, but you're just kind of like, you love to see a person grow. You love to see them change. And right, you're trying to prepare them for life, but prepare them for a job, prepare them in the industry. And, you know, the skills and all the stuff that we do, all of us, you know, on this call, it changes. I don't know, changes every week, changes every month, changes every year, whatever it might be. But again, if you have that foundation and you know how to communicate, you know how to treat people, you have an idea of storytelling and a structure, then you're not reinventing yourself. And you're always going to find a place to go. And I love that with what we do at Ball State.
Yeah, that's great. I just hearing your thoughts and where you are right now, I feel like I'm kind of in that area too, where I'm starting to go, okay, well, what can I do to give back? I've gotten so much from, you know, the people that helped me out along the way with, you know, being at Nebraska, and, you know, I've learned a lot of skills along the way, but, you know, seeing the growth and development of different people because, you've had a chance to work with them is definitely, becoming more and more of the goal, I think. So, that's really cool to hear that that's also like the one of the things that keeps you fresh and keeps you going, because there's so much energy and seeing all the new ideas and, you know, approaches and the passion that students have. I guess, we've talked a little bit about how seeing things from a different perspective, it sounds like that's what you do. You provide, you know, you were talking about putting somebody in the director's chair and seeing their eyes light up, or maybe they don't light up and it's like, okay, well, now we can try something else out for you, or put you in a different position and see if that, you know, sticks with you or resonates with you a little bit more. I'm just curious if you've ever had students that show up into the program thinking they want to do one thing and then they leave totally wild about doing a different part of the industry because they were introduced to it, and they hadn't really thought about it or understood what it took to do a different job. But now that they've had this experience and had an opportunity to try it out, now they're feeling much more confident about what they want to do coming out of school.
Absolutely. And I think the area that I see that the most in is that students come in thinking, or maybe they, you know, they were the play-by-play guy or the color commentator for their high school team, and they want to be play-by-play, and that's where their skill set is. And I could go through a good portion of our alumni and my former students where we've had the conversation. I'm like, you have to put more tools in your toolbox. And that's where we've, you know, people who come in are like, oh, I'm going to do play-by-play, I'm going to do this. And then they start to understand storytelling, maybe, or they start to produce, because in our program, you're not just a play-by-play guy. Like, you may come in and that's going to be where we want you to be, or you want to be, but you're also going to produce a game too. If that, you know, our best talent usually are sometimes our best producers, because they know exactly what a talent needs to hear or where they want to go. Right. But you know, a name that came up earlier on this call was Josh Blessing, who now produces for Elite Edge and all the crazy stuff that he's done. He used to work at Minnesota and so forth, right? Josh came in wanting to be uh, a, a journalist, and then he wanted to be a play-by-play or a voice. And then somewhere in our program, I remember the conversation, like, Josh, you got to add more tools to your toolbox, man. And then he had never edited video in high school. And then he started doing stuff, and then like, man, like his eye, he just exploded. And obviously he's continuing to do great work today. I could go through and find a number of students like that where they came in thinking one thing, and then that totally changed, whether that was a year in, 2 years in, or whatever that might be. And in fairness, we've had students who've come in like, look, this is what I want to do. And, you know, if they're sold on it and they know that in their heart, then I'm going to try to help them do that. But I also want them to build a skill set, because you're not seeing many, many play-by-play folks that come in and immediately step into a job at ESPN or wherever that might be. But you can see people who have production skills, who maybe have called games and be play-by-play talent or color or whatever. And if you can back that up with, hey, I can go produce a story, I can grab a camera, I can grab a tripod, I can take a light, I can throw all that into my backpack and do the interview and do a stand-up for you and come back and produce a story or produce a live game, I mean, you're going to find opportunities if you have that kind of a skill set. So I always say, like, we got to add more tools to your toolbox. And many times those tools have been where they have moved on to, and not because I suggested it, you know, they just had never thought about it. And Josh would be an example of that. You know, I think of a couple others. We have a student named Pat Boylan who is working with the Indiana Pacers on air, but he got the job with the Pacers because he was really good on air, but he could also produce stories and edit things together. And then that opened the door quicker for him to get on air, if that makes sense. I see that. I see that more. I see it a lot, actually, frankly.
All right, that wraps up another episode. So we'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions. So pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives there. The quickest way to get us to stop this podcast is to not tell anyone about it. So leave us your 5-star rating and don't forget to subscribe so you're the first person to catch each new episode. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.